It's great to see you this morning. Thank you for being here. Today is exciting because this is Miracle Sunday, and we completely understand that God is not limited to days that we, you know, attach the word miracle to perform miracles on that day. God does miracles all the time, certainly not limited to a couple days out of the year, but we feel that it's a good idea that every once in a while we have a service where people know what they're getting into, that we're all on the same page, coming with a high level of expectancy, a good day to invite other people, that we come believing, and you know exactly what the focus is going to be on certain days. So we'll label certain days. This is a miracle Sunday. We're coming. We're believing that people's bodies are going to be healed, that people are going to have breakthrough, situations are going to change, yokes of bondage are going to come off people's lives, and it's going to happen today. We've come believing and expecting that, and it's not something we dreamt up and thought, wouldn't it be cool that people could be healed? It's in the Word of God, right? It's all based on the Word of God. So we're excited today, expecting to see incredible things happen. Just we had some instant testimonies after the service, you know, the first service this morning. People saying, man, I came, my stomach was all messed up, or I was having pain here. So we've had multiple testimonies already from people that came expecting, and it's going to be a great service. Amen. You know, why don't you go ahead and lift your hands one more time. Just thank the Lord for loving you. Thank Him for His presence. Just go ahead and set your faith. What is it that needs to change in your life? What is it that's gone on long enough and there needs to be a change? A healing in your body, something different in your family, something different in your relationship. What is it that needs to be changed? Just in your own words, just ask God, today would be the day that situation comes to a close, or this is the day, whatever that breakthrough is. Father, thank you for your miracle working power. Just in your own words, just ask Him, Father, let today be the day where I receive that touch from you. Lord, I'm coming to you. Just like Pastor Jonathan said, like Bartimaeus, I'm calling out to you. My eyes are on you, Jesus. Would you touch me today? Father, we praise you. Speak to our hearts this morning, Lord. We thank you in advance. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Amen. You know, a few days ago, I decided that I wanted to be able to take my phone and have what was on my phone be on a TV screen, right? So that I could play something on my phone and then it would be on a screen. So I started kind of reading online, can I do that? How do I do that? What do I need to do to be able to do that? And so I learned a few things. I need to get a certain kind of cord or a certain kind of cable to attach to my phone on the other end and be, you know, HDMI to go into the TV. And so I kind of started researching that, started shopping around a little bit, you know, what cords are good ones, what ones are bad ones. I was reading reviews. Some of them people said, this doesn't work at all. Other, you know, these ones, this is a good one. Okay, what's a good price on these? And then I finally got to the point where I was ready to order it. So I clicked, I ordered, and I paid for it. Now, once I paid for that cord, things changed as far as me trying to figure out, how am I going to solve this problem? How am I going to be able to deal with this? What do I need to do? How am I going to do it? All of my I stopped searching. I stopped reading reviews. I stopped looking online. I stopped shopping around. Because once I paid for it, it changed everything. Now I'm moving into, now I'm just expecting its arrival. Now it's just time for it to show up in 2 days, thanks to Amazon Prime 2-day shipping. Amen. It arrived yesterday, safe and sound, praise the Lord. Right. So once I paid for it, now it changes things. Now I'm just expecting. Yesterday, my wife took our two oldest daughters, and she spent the day with them and left the younger two in my care. And so I was responsible for them yesterday, and when it was time to eat, I mean, I'm not going to cook them anything, so I loaded them up in the car and took them to a restaurant. So we went to Chick-fil-A. And, you know, got them in the building, walked up to the counter, tell the lady what you'd like to eat, ordered. I paid for it. And after I paid for it, what did I start doing? I started just expecting my food, right? I mean, it was time for me to be expectant that what had been paid for is going to be mine. I was expecting I'm going to get to taste that chicken. I'm going to get to be nourished and filled up by that chicken because it would be paid for. Now, it would be foolish for me to walk in there and sit down at a table and be expectant of something that I hadn't paid for. I can't just walk in there and sit down and look around and, how come everyone else is getting chicken here and I'm not getting any chicken? This is wrong, right? If I haven't paid for it, then it'd be foolish to expect it. It would be foolish for me to keep going outside and checking my mailbox to see if that cord had arrived if I've never ordered it and if I've never paid it. If I tell my wife, it didn't come again. I don't know what's going on. I need a cord. Don't people know I need? If I haven't paid for it, it would be dumb for me to be expectant of it, right? That is foolishness. But it is just as foolish to have something paid for and have no expectancy of it. That's just as foolish. So if I were to walk up to the counter, place my order, pay for it, and then say, come on, kids, let's get in the car. We got to figure out what we're doing for dinner tonight and start driving around. Well, I paid for it. It's dumb to have no expectancy that what has been paid for isn't going to come into my possession. Well, once I place the order online, once I place the order at the restaurant, now once something has been paid for, now it's time just to be expecting, and you're going to take delivery of what's already been paid for. Now, it's one thing if you're talking about a cable for your phone or a chicken sandwich, but the Bible tells us that there are certain things that have already been paid for. So it's not us trying to figure out, what am I going to do about this situation? How am I going to handle it? There's something that's been paid for on your behalf. So once something is paid for, what's the appropriate response? You become expectant that I'm going to get to taste what was paid for. I'm going to get to be nourished. I'm going to receive what was paid for on my behalf. And the Bible says that Jesus paid so that you could have freedom in your life. That the power of sin, the stronghold of sin in your life has been destroyed. He paid for it with his blood. That by the blood of Jesus, your freedom has been paid for. You don't have to be a slave to sin. You know, the enemy puts yokes on people, yokes of bondage. And just like a farmer puts a yoke on oxen, there's a reason they put yoke on oxen. Not just to weigh them down and make like life tough. They put a yoke on an animal like that for what purpose? So that they can lead and guide and steer and get the animal to go where they want it to go. And that's why the devil puts yokes on people's lives. Not just to make life tough, that's part of it, but he also wants to keep you from doing certain things and make you do other things. So there's people in this room that have things in their life that they don't want to be that way, but it seems like that even when they get so determined, I'm going to stop doing fill in the blank. They keep ending up right back in the very place that they hate. Or there's things that they long to do, a man that they want to be, a kind of woman that they want to be. They have their eyes set on it, but it seems like they can never move in that direction. Why? Because there is a yoke on them and the enemy is allowed to control their life with that yoke. But the Bible says that freedom has been purchased for you so that those yokes can be destroyed in Jesus' name. It's something that has already been paid for. So what's the appropriate response? We expect, I'm going to walk free from whatever habit has plagued my life, whatever yoke of bondage, whether it's a habit, maybe it's an emotion, maybe it's depression or fear or anxiety, something that has saddled you like a yoke and controlled your life, you can be expecting that today those things are broken off of your life. Why? Because it's been paid for. The Bible says that healing has been paid for. Healing has been paid for by the stripes of Jesus. When Jesus went to the cross, it says that he carried your pain, your sickness, your disease, and he carried it not just so that he could identify with you and you'd have someone, you could talk to someone that knows what it's like to have that very condition. That's not why he carried it. He carried it so that you wouldn't have to carry it. It says, by the stripes of Jesus, healing is yours. We are healed by his stripes. It's been paid for. What's that mean for us? We can be expectant that healing is going to be in our bodies because the Bible says that it's ours. So faith comes by hearing the word of God, right? And we receive by faith. In fact, let me read you from Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, it says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. Faith is important. We know we get faith from the word of God. Faith comes by hearing the word of God. We see things in the word of God and we believe them. That's how we grow in our faith. But sometimes we just talk about believing things and leave it at the level of, hey, I've got faith. Hey, I'm really in belief for something. And we just kind of leave it there. But this passage tells us that there's something that's supposed to come in addition to faith. Faith isn't just supposed to remain alone. Faith is the substance. The substance, we've talked about this before, substance. So stance is you standing, sub is underneath. So that word can literally be translated the foundation. Faith is the foundation for what? For things hoped for. Bible hope is not crossing your fingers and wishing and throwing pennies in a wishing well. Bible hope is expectancy. It's being expectant. So you can rewrite that verse accurately, that faith is the foundation of what? Of things that you are expectant of. Faith is the foundation of expectancy. So faith isn't supposed to just remain in your life and that be that. Hey, I'm really believing for. Hey, I'm really in faith. There's supposed, it's a foundation, right? Are foundations important? Yes, they're very, very important. You want a good foundation in your house. If you're going to have a house built, the foundation is a major part of that. But if you show up and the builder says, okay, your house is done, it's time to move in, and you pull in with your moving van and go to unload stuff, and it's just a foundation, as important as that is, you're not pleased with the outcome of that house. Because the reason you even have a foundation is for something to come on top of that foundation. So people will build their faith and talk about faith, and it's important. I'm not trying to diminish that at all, but it is a foundation for something else. For what? For expectancy. Faith is the foundation of things hoped for or things that you are expectant of. So people will talk about, hey, yeah, I'm really believing for, but they've really got no expectancy of what they say that they're believing for. There's a problem there. It's a foundation, and there are things that are supposed to come on top of the foundation, and there's supposed to be an expectancy in your life. So whatever you've been believing for, whatever you're in faith about, you've got to bring on top of that a genuine expectancy. I'm going to see this thing happen. A lot of times people will be procrastinators when it comes to their faith. That they believe something or claim to believe something, but they only believe it for some time down the road. Hey, I'm really believing, but their belief is set for a year from now, 2 years from now, 10 years from now, someday when I'm old and gray. That's really not faith. That's postponed faith, which means it's present doubt. I'm doubting now, but I'm believing in 5 years from now, you know, my marriage is finally going to be the way that I want it. That's present doubt. And people make themselves feel better about being in doubt by pretending to believe and extending it to some time in the future. You know, when Jesus showed up to raise Lazarus from the dead, Martha was operating this way. Now, I know you can raise him from the dead. And Jesus said, yeah, he'll live again. Yeah, I know he will. On the day of resurrection, when we all, Jesus, remember the story? Yeah. What did Jesus say? No, not some. I'm talking about today. He's going to live today. So she had a measure of faith, but yes, I know somewhere down the road, well, I know we'll all live again. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about he's going to live again today. So let your expectancy be not somewhere down the road in the future. Attach your expectancy to now, to today. That's Bible faith. It's the foundation of things that you are expectant of. Now, I know there are some things that we set our faith for that do come down the road. I'll give you an example. So I've got four daughters. I pray for their husbands. I pray that God's going to keep his hand on four young men. They're going to be godly men, keep them set apart, reserved for my daughters. They'd walk in holiness. They'll be godly men. I pray that way for those boys, whoever they are. God, preserve four righteous young men for my daughters. And since they're going to be in my family, I pray that I'm going to have a good relationship with them. I'm not going to hate these guys or be annoyed by them. Right? If they're going to be around, I might as well like them. Father, I pray that I'd have a great relationship, that I could talk to them, I could hunt with them, that we'd enjoy the same kinds of things. I pray that way for my daughters, right? And I'm in faith, so I'm expecting of it. But in this situation, my oldest daughter is 15, my youngest daughter is 4, right? So I'm not believing that by the end of the day, I'm going to have 4 sons-in-laws, right? So there are certain things that you're believing on and you're expecting of, but because of the situation, it is somewhere in the future. So there are situations. But too often, things that have already been paid for, we don't have a legitimate expectancy of. When you're believing for something to happen a year down the road, that means you're not believing it for it to happen up until that point. Bible expectancy is that things would happen now. There's got to come a point in time where you're not just believing someday. Let this be the day that my body receives fresh strength. Father, don't let me leave this building today without getting an answer to that question, without receiving a breakthrough. Set your expectancy. Why not today? Why not this service be the service where that situation is changed, that you throw off that yoke and you're never the same again? Why not today? God isn't waiting on anything but for you to put a draw on what's already been paid for, that you activate it by faith and you receive it by having a legitimate expectancy. He's waiting on you. It's not not like he's got to mix up a batch of medicine or something to fix your whatever ails you. It's not like he's got to come up with a solution. He's already paid for your provision in so many of these areas, but we lack the appropriate expectancy to ever take delivery of it. If that cord would have arrived at my mailbox, but I never thought to go out and look, I would have ordered it, paid for it, and said, I'm expecting it, but not for a long, long time. It would have sat there, and I would have missed out, even though it was mine the whole time. That's the way it is with the provision of God in so many people's lives. Listen to what Isaac told Esau. Genesis chapter 27, verse 40. He says, by your sword you shall live, and you shall serve your brother, and it shall come to pass when you become restless, you shall break his yoke from your neck. He's telling Esau, you're going to serve your brother. It's going to be like he's got a yoke on you. But listen, there'll come a point in time where you will get restless. And once you get restless, then you will break that yoke off of your neck. What was he saying? That as long as you're willing to put up with him being over you, he'll be over you. But there will come a point in time where I'm fed up with this. I don't want to be like this anymore. I've had enough, and I'm going to throw this thing off. I'm not dealing with this anymore. And that's the point where you'll break that yoke off of your neck. It's the same thing for you and I. The enemy will keep things on you as long as you're willing to allow them to remain on you. There's got to come a point in time where you stop believing for a year down the road and say, I'm fed up. I've had enough. I'm restless. I'm tired of dealing with this sickness. I'm tired of dealing with this situation. I'm tired of dealing with outbreaks of anger and jealousy or whatever it happens to be. Today's the day that I throw this yoke off of my neck, because as long as you're willing to carry it, you will carry it. There's got to be an expectation, and set that expectation for sooner rather than later. Proverbs chapter 23 verse 18 says, for surely there is an end, and thine expectation shall not be cut off. Surely there's an end. And your expectation won't be cut off. When it says cut off, it means it won't be disappointed. You're not going to be let down. You're going to have an expectation. Surely there's an end, and your expectation won't be cut off. So in that passage, you see linked together the end of something directly correlated to someone's expectation. Surely there's an end, and your expectation won't be cut off. Whatever your problem is, wherever you need a breakthrough, wherever you need a deliverance, wherever you need a touch, whatever you need to come to an end to that, you've put up with it long enough. There is an end to that situation. There is an end to that problem, but the end comes directly related to the expectancy that you have. Amen. So set your expectancy. Why put it off when it's already been paid for? Once something's been paid for, we switch over into expectancy. And why be expectant for something tomorrow if you can receive it today? Expect it now. Expect it in this service. The Lord's going to touch you. The Lord's going to touch you today. The Lord's going to touch you in the next 30 minutes. Why not? Expect it. Expect it. You know, God wants you to know him. He desires you to know him. There's a lot of different passages we could look at, a lot of verses that we show God's desire for you to know him. Let me just read one to you in John chapter 14, starting in verse 6. Jesus told him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father except through me. If you had really known me, you would know who my Father is. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. Philip said, Lord, show us the Father and we will be satisfied. Jesus replied, have I been with you all this time, Philip, and yet you still don't know who I am? Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father, so why are you asking me to show him to you? You can almost hear in Jesus a little bit of aggravation. Why do you think I'm here? What do you think I've been doing all this time? God wants you to know him, so he sent me. If you've seen me, if you know me, you know him. So God went to incredible lengths to make himself known. And in Jesus' response, you can hear God, there is a desire that you would know God. That's why he sent Jesus in the first place. That's why we have the Word of God. The Word of God is revelation. It's God revealing himself. God isn't trying to hide from you. He's trying to reveal himself. He desires that you would know him. Otherwise, we wouldn't have any scripture. There'd be no Bible if God was trying to hide. It's all an effort for you to come to know him. He sent us his Holy Spirit. Why? To lead us in truth, to be a spirit of revelation and understanding so we could know God more. God wants you to know him. Amen. God has a desire that you would know him, and not just an informational, somewhere in your head knowledge. The word that's used to know God often in the New Testament is the same word that's used to talk about a man knowing a woman in physical intimacy. So it's not just I know a few things about this person. It's talking about an intimate, experiential knowledge. That's what God wants you to have. Not that you know a few verses and a few facts. He wants you to have a knowledge that you experience. That's a different kind of knowing someone. There's people who know me, have information about me. I've got a lot of friends. I've got a lot of acquaintances. I have over 200 friends on Facebook. And I'm not bragging, but I... So people know me, right? I've got friends and acquaintances, but nobody knows me like my wife knows me, right? That's a different kind of knowledge, an experiential knowledge. There's people who know who my wife is, know her name, know things about her. Nobody knows my wife like I know her, and I'm not trying to be crude, but that's the illustration that the Bible gives us, the kind of knowing someone. When a husband and wife know each other in that way, the Bible says they become one. They are one flesh. They're knit together. God wants that with you. He wants to become one with you, that you know you have experienced who he is, that kind of knowledge. Now, with that in mind, let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 10. God wants you to know him on that level. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, starting in verse 3, says, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal." We'll keep reading. But just the fact that he refers to what God has given us in his word, in his Holy Spirit, the use of the name Jesus, that's referred to as weapons. And when something's referred to as weapons, even in the natural, you know that you're dealing with something that's powerful, right? You talk about something and then say, "Oh, did you know that that's weapons grade?" What do you expect? Oh, man, that's something serious, right? Even if I gave you something very common, something that is not known for being a powerful substance, if I gave you some hand lotion, and I said, "Hey, your hands look a little dry, why don't you put some lotion?" You went to rub it on your hands, and I said, "Hold on a second, that's weapons-grade lotion." You wouldn't even really know what that means, but you say, "Hold, what do you mean it's weapons-grade lotion? I don't want to put this on my body." You don't know what it's going to do, but you have an expectancy. It's going to do something, because when I attach the word weapons to it, you know this has got to be some powerful stuff, right? So when it talks about what God has given you and I to operate in his kingdom, it doesn't refer to it as toys or trinkets or souvenirs. It talks about them. It's weapons-grade stuff we're dealing with, which lets us know it's powerful. "For the weapons of our warfare," you have weapons, I've got weapons. "Weapons of our warfare are not carnal," they're not fleshly, "but they are mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God." Let me read it to you in the NIV version. It says this, "For though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power." So we have weapons. That weapons carry divine power. The power of God. That's what it's talking about. Think about the power of God. God is all powerful. Sometimes we put more faith in the power of the devil than we do in the power of God. The weapons we have operate in divine power. Do you know that when Satan, before he fell, when he was an angel and he started rebelling, that it was the power of God that kicked his rear end out of heaven, right? He was trying to stake a claim, and God gave him the boot, sent him packing, right? Threw him out. When Jesus died and went down into hell to take the keys of death, hell, and the grave, it was the power of God that snatched him back out of hell and brought him back. And it's that same power that you and I have operating in our lives. So you can see repeatedly where the power of God has trumped the power of the devil. Kicked him out of heaven, pulled Jesus out of hell. God's power is greater than any other power, certainly greater than the power of the enemy. And the weapons that we have, the weapons that we're operating with, have divine power. Divine power for what? "On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension," the New King James said, "every high thing that sets itself up against the knowledge of God." We just said God wants us to know him, And not just to know about him, to experience him. We have weapons to demolish, mighty weapons to demolish everything that would exalt itself, everything that would set itself against the knowledge of God. You know, there are things that the enemy will try to bring into your life against the knowledge of God. Things he wants to keep you from knowing, not just know, you can know about it. He just doesn't want you to know it, Bible know it, experience it, be intimate with it. Things that set themselves against the knowledge of God. Well, who is God? What's the knowledge of God? Who are we talking about? We know that God is a healer. God is a healer. That's part of who he is. He said, I'm Jehovah Rapha. I'm the Lord that heals you. That's part of knowing God. So there are things in our lives that come in and set themselves up against. Against the knowledge of God, right? So when sickness and disease and pain and those kinds of things come into your life, they are things designed at what? They are setting themselves up against you knowing that God is a healer, keeping you from knowing Jehovah Rapha, right? They've set themselves up. The Bible says that God is a provider. He's Jehovah Jireh. He's the God of more than enough. He wants to be your supply and your provider. But there are people in this room that have things that have set themselves up against you really knowing the provision of God, that you're walking through life and you might even know some facts. You've got some information, you've got some verses, but you don't really know the provision of God because there are things that have set themselves up against that. God is a restorer. God is a redeemer. God wants to be your helper. There are so many different attributes of knowing God. And again, not head knowledge, experiential, intimate knowledge that you know, you have walked in it, you've felt it, you've seen it played out in your life, but there are things that will try to resist, set themselves up against you knowing. This passage tells us that you and I have been equipped with whatever it takes to demolish, to destroy, to tear down, to remove every one of those things. So if there's something in your life keeping you from knowing the provision of God, we have what it takes to demolish that thing so that you can know, I'm not just to tell you a fact, God is a provider. Who cares if I don't get to see that in my life? God is a healer. Well, it doesn't matter to me unless I can know it and I can see the difference in my body. Amen. There are things that will exalt themselves, but we can see those things destroyed, not next year, today in Jesus' name. That's the kind of expectancy I'm talking about. Expecting that when I walk out of here, everything that has exalted itself against me knowing God in whatever area, it's demolished in the mighty name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. You know, we receive from the Lord based on revelation, right? Based on light that comes. So that's why people can know so much about the Bible and it doesn't really make a whole lot of impact. There's people that have their doctorates in theology. They live like heathens. They don't see the provision of God. And I'm not against education and knowing. That's good. We've got a school of ministry. But it's not just having facts. It's revelation. It's when you really see it. Because when you really see it, that's when you believe. That's when you come to faith, right? Once you see something, you can't be altered. You know that you know. I've seen it with my own eyes. God has revealed it to me in his word. You're reading the word and you see it. You see that there's provision. You see that God's a healer. You see some truth. And once you see it, you really can't be shaken from it. If you haven't seen something, then you can be deceived. So this morning, if I tried to convince you that I've got a big, thick, manly beard, I can't convince you of that, right? Because you've seen with your own eyes that that's not the case. My face can produce about 8 pathetic little whiskers, and that's all I've got to offer. Right? Now, if you were listening on, you know, to the podcast or just listening to the audio of the message, maybe I could convince you, oh, if I sound a little muffled this morning, I'm sorry, that's just all the hair on my face. I've got a big beard that's kind of complicating things. I could maybe convince you if you couldn't see. But once you are here and you can see, I can't convince you otherwise, right? You believe, you just know. It's not hard because you've received light. You have revelation. Now you know, right? You believe because you've seen it. It's the same way with the word of God. When you receive revelation and light, that helps us. That allows us to walk in the provision of God. People talk about the speed of light, how light travels. Well, what is the speed of darkness? What's the speed of darkness? Because the speed of darkness is directly related to the speed of light. right? That darkness flees at the same rate that light comes in. That's why it's so important for us to spend time in the Word of God. Because the Bible says the entrance of His Word brings light. The entrance of His Word brings light. So if you don't believe something, it's because you haven't seen it. Because once you see it, you believe it. And you understand I'm talking about spiritual seeing. We know we don't walk by sight, we walk by faith. But there is a certain seeing that provides faith. When you get revelation, you see something in the Word of God. So it's so important to be in the Word, to feed on the Word, to get light. Because darkness is going to flee from your life at the very rate that light comes into your life. So you feed on it. You meditate on it. You don't just settle for knowing a couple scriptures. You let it get in you and God open it up and reveal things to you. And that drives darkness out. And everything you're dealing with contrary to the will of God, you can throw it in the category of darkness. All of those things can be driven out by what? By light. And when light comes, it handles darkness very, very easily. The lights went out in here for whatever reason just a moment ago. Perfect illustration. Thank you. We're on the same page. The solution to that darkness was very, very easy. Turn the light on. Not a problem. That's the weakness of darkness, is light. It's got no answer for light. It just leaves. So you need light. There are some people that are dealing with problems that they don't just need a prayer for things to be different. That they need revelation on what to do or what to stop doing to bring about change. And we can pray for light to come. So that can be a solution. We can pray for that. But it's not just, Lord, would you just change this situation? There are things, you and I carry responsibilities in our walk with the Lord. We are in covenant with Him, and covenant carries responsibility. So marriage is a very good illustration. I am in covenant with my wife. It's a marriage covenant. So I can pray for God to bless my marriage, and I do. I can ask for God to make my marriage stronger and sweeter and richer, and I pray that way for my marriage. But I'm in a covenant, and so I've got a role to play. There are things I have responsibilities to do. I can't be harsh and cruel and mean and discouraging to my wife and just act any way I want and ask God to bless it. God, would you just make my marriage awesome? I'm just going to continue to be a jerk to her. I'm going to be unfaithful. I'm just going to do whatever I want. But I really want a sweet, wonderful household and marriage. No, it's not going to work. I've got responsibilities to walk in, to honor that covenant. And I can ask for God to bless it, but I've got to give Him something to bless. I can't walk in disobedience in the covenant and say, God, would you bless my disobedience? So there's people that need financial breakthrough. God wants you to have that breakthrough, but He doesn't want just a sack of money to fall out of the sky. He wants to bring you light so you know what to do and what not to do to get that financial breakthrough, because you are in a covenant with Him and you've got responsibilities. Yes. Not as crazy about that one. You can read through the Word, read Proverbs chapter 3. It talks about honoring the Lord with your wealth, and then your vats overflow with wine. Then your barn is jam-packed full. And you've got an abundance. But there is a responsibility that you have in the... God wants to honor. God wants to bless. Read Malachi chapter 3. It's all through the Word of God. It's His heart. But there's two parts of that. And you and I carry responsibility. So one of the things we can pray for today is pray for light to break forth. And for light to drive out darkness. Father, when things aren't lining up, show me my responsibility. Show me what I need to do. A fresh commitment to the Word of God and gaining understanding. Let me ask the worship team to come. Anything that has exalted itself against you knowing, experiencing God, whatever aspect of His, the Bible talks about the manifold wisdom, the many-sided wisdom of God. Whatever you don't know of God, something has exalted itself against that, keeping you from knowledge. And we can see that destroyed today in Jesus' name. There has been provision already paid for. It requires expectancy, not just faith. Yeah, I really believe. I believe He's our healer. I really believe He's been made unto us wisdom. I really believe. Listen, are you expecting to see a manifestation of that in your life or not? Because faith is the foundation. Important, important, important. But it exists for something to come on top of. Amen? Amen. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 says, His divine power has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. His divine power has given us all things that pertain, that relate to life and godliness. So if it pertains to your life, and if it pertains to godliness, His divine power has given us all of those, there's been provision made. So think about the situation you're in. Think about the needs that you have. Does it pertain to your life? Does sickness or health, does that pertain to your life? Absolutely it does. So there's been provision made. God cares about your life. God wants you healthy and strong. People will make that out to be some, you know, selfish or shallow desire and act like they've moved on beyond believing for a healthy body. But it matters to God that your body's healthy. He cares. He loves you. He's a good God. That's a part of who He is. God is a good God. That's part of the knowledge of God, knowing He is good. Maybe you've never really tasted the goodness of God. Something has exalted itself, set itself up against the knowledge of God in that area. You need that demolished in your life. But healing is important to God. And it's linked with salvation. So if salvation is the number one priority, what God wants for you, healing is a close second. When Jesus would send out the disciples to preach, send them out to preach the good news, go and tell people the good news of the kingdom, and what would He tell them to do in accompaniment with that? And heal the sick. Go and preach the good news, heal the sick. Psalm 103, not forgetting the benefits of the Lord. What's the first benefit He lists? He's the one who forgives me of all of my sins, forgives all of my iniquities. He's talking about salvation, being clean before Him, the number one priority. Close number second, He forgives all my sins and He heals all of my diseases. In the eyes of God, it is a close second that you realize He's a healer. He is a healer. He wants you to know it. So whatever has exalted itself against you, know it, demolish today, today in Jesus' name. Expect it today, today. This is the day that whatever has exalted itself against you, knowing that aspect of who God is, it's demolished in Jesus' name, because we have weapons to demolish it. All things pertaining to life and godliness. These things pertain to godliness. Yokes of bondage broken off of your life. No longer addicted. No longer somebody that can't be on the computer without looking at pornography. Things that are our yokes that control. I don't want to be like that, but it just destroyed in jail. That pertains to godliness, doesn't it? Then we've been given from His divine power all things that pertain to life and godliness. It's been given to us. There is provision that has been made for it. Romans chapter 8 verse 32 says, He who did not spare His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? How shall He not with Him, with who? With Jesus. What comes with Jesus? What is with Jesus? Provision, joy, peace, healing. If it's with Jesus, it's freely yours. If He's given you Jesus, you get everything that comes with Jesus. If He gave us His Son, how do you receive Jesus and not get everything that Jesus has with Him? It doesn't even make any sense that people live their life like that. He who did not spare His own Son, He delivered Him up for you. He gave you a son. Now, how does it make any sense that you can have Jesus and not get all the things that come with Jesus? He who did not spare His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall he not with him, things that come with Him, also freely give us all? If it comes with Him, it's yours. If it comes with Him, it's yours. People that were discouraged, people that were afraid, people that were under condemnation, Jesus set them free. Jesus said, Luke chapter 4, Spirit of the sovereign God's upon me. Freedom for the captives. Freedom for captives. Freedom comes with Jesus. If you have Jesus, there is freedom. You put a draw on it by expect. I'm going to walk in that freedom. I'm leaving here today with that freedom. Whatever has plagued me, whatever's been like a yoke on me, whatever's been bondage to me, freedom. It's freely yours. Recovery of sight to the blind. It's healing. Healing that comes with Jesus. Jesus said, here I come, and I'm bringing freedom, and I'm bringing healing, and I'm bringing provision. It's all with Him, so it's freely yours. It's freely yours. It's yours. The Bible says that healing is the children's bread. Provision. It's provision that belongs to the children. Deliverance. Deliverance is the children's bread. It belongs to His children. So in just a moment, Pastor Jonathan and the band are going to lead us in a song. When they do, if you need a touch from the Lord, you need something demolished, something is key, there's a part of God that I know about, I've read about, I just heard you talk about it. I can't say that I've been intimate with it. I can't say that I've experienced it. There's something that had set itself up against the knowledge of God in this area, and I need it demolished. Well, God has given us the weapons to get the job done today in Jesus' name. So I'm going to ask you to come in just a few moments to receive a breakthrough, to receive a healing, to receive a miracle, but I want you to come expecting. Don't just come in faith, come with a faith that on top of that foundation of faith, there is an expectancy. When that oil, when that hand touches my head, when that prayer goes up, I'm never the same again in Jesus' name. It's the children's bread. I mentioned a moment ago, healing and deliverance, close second the eyes of God to salvation.